Find the answers to questions you may or may not have asked yourself here at Collider Science, Conversations on Cognitive Science, hosted by Elisa Palmer and Sönke Löw.
In our special December episodes, we talked with Piper Powell and Peter König, and they both hinted at a project that started long ago that had to do with vibrating things that are attached to the body. And we finally going to talk about the root project that caused all of this. For that, we have Susan Wache here. And yeah, welcome.
Hello, thank you.
And as always, at the beginning of our episode, we play our short get-to-know game, where I give you five sentences or beginnings of sentences and ask you to finish them as spontaneously as you can.
Okay.
The first sentence is, as a kid, I always wanted to be...
a neuroscientist.
Really?
Yes. So in the beginning, it was an astrophysicist, but then it was a neuroscientist.
Interesting. How come?
Because I always was interested in things like how the mind works and how memory works. And already when I was like 10 years old, I started to read books about creativity and mind mapping and things like that. And also like memory techniques. And that was very fascinating already back then.
Yeah, I can imagine. If I was an emoji, I would be?
Smiling. Happy, smiling, laughing emoji.
A specific one or just any?
Just any smiling emoji.
My favorite thing to do on a day off is?
Meeting with my best friends, I would say. Yeah. And also relax or going to the sauna.
Nice, yeah. Right now, I'm most fascinated by?
I'm most fascinated by... There are many things I'm fascinated by. At the moment, I'm mostly occupied with still with my startup and what I can do there. And so this is like an everyday challenge, which is also taking a lot of my mental capabilities. Yeah. So this is still fascinating me, what you can do with that. And yes.
I think we're going to hear a lot about this during today's episode. And our last sentence is, I know it's time to call it a day when...
when I'm not concentrated anymore and I have the feeling of I've done enough, then I think it's time for relaxing.
Yeah. So we already hinted at the fact that we've talked to two people who've been working in a kind of similar project, at least when it comes to vibrating objects on the body. But maybe could you tell us where... you came from, how you came to what you're doing now, and yeah, just maybe a bit of your roadmap. You said that you already had a high interest in neuroscience as a kid, and how did you end up starting a startup?
Yeah, so the whole story. I was fascinated by cognitive science when I was already in school. And so the idea was like, what am I going to study? Is it something like cognitive science or something in a related field? And back then I was living in Berlin, and there was in close by in Potsdam, there was a cognitive science institute starting. And the question was whether they would provide a bachelor or master program soon. And when I finished school, I heard, or it was the plan, that 3 years later they will have a master's program in cognitive science, and but only a master's program. And to enter in that program, you could choose any of the related fields as a bachelor, like biology, psychology, informatics, linguistics, and so on. And so for me, the question was whether biology or psychology is more interesting, and in the end I decided for biology as a bachelor. And when I finished my bachelor 3 years later in Berlin, of course the program was not ready yet, because it always takes longer than expected to make a new program for studying. And so then I moved to Osnabrück to do the master's in cognitive science here, and that was 2009. And back then I already heard about a very cool and interesting project called FieldSpace. And this was in Peter Koenig's group, who was here in one of the earlier episodes. And yeah, I heard about the project called FieldSpace. And in that project, they had a belt with vibrating motors around the waist. And one is always vibrating in the direction of north. Though you can feel where north is. And the idea was to investigate whether you get a new sense, like some birds have it. Or whether you just have a better orientation sense or something like that. And for me, that was very interesting. And I wanted to be also to become one of the participants to wear that belt for some weeks. But then there was a second year of my master's and I went to Italy to study there. And in that time, I heard that there was an open PhD position in the FieldSpace project, and I was immediately interested. And so finally I got that. And when I came back to Osnabrück, I started first as a participant and wore the belt myself for 2 months. And I was very fascinated by the effects because it felt really different, and I had a better and different orientation, which was very, very interesting for me. And so then I was in that FieldSpace project. And after some time, the first study started with blind subjects, which one of my colleagues, or now colleagues, did back then. And the blind participants were also very interested in that project, because they told us that it really helps in their everyday life to better orient themselves. And so time by time, we had the idea, or my colleague had the idea, that this could be a project where you could actually do something with it. Because it's often there are nice projects, but nothing happens afterwards. And the idea was like, maybe this could be a real product. It could actually help people out in the world to become something real. And so that was at one day my colleague, she's called Silke, and she came to me and in the office and asked me what I would think about maybe thinking about starting a startup in that with the FieldSpace project. And in my memory, that was a moment where I was like, yes, yes, I want to do that. And it was very clear for me that I really was enthusiastic about it. Of course, I had no idea what it means to start a startup, which was kind of good. Who knows whether I've done it otherwise. But I was immediately into it. And so that was when the idea started. And also with the help of Peter Koenig and a third colleague of mine, Jessica, the three of us, we decided, yes, we want to do it. And then we got a founding stipend and started the FieldSpace company. And we founded in the end of 2015. And that was the start and the beginning of the FieldSpace company.
So you've just explained how you got into the project. So the project was existing at the university already, and you just kind of started working on it as a master's student, then later as a PhD, and then started a startup afterwards. What was the initial idea when it was just a study project without having the idea of being a startup later? Was it from the beginning helping blind people, or was it just, can you get a next sense?
So the FieldSpace project already started in 2005. So it was long before my time. And back then it was a project from students, a study project. And the idea was whether you can learn something like a new sense, or maybe not a new sense, but a different space perception, for example. And the idea was also to investigate how do people learn to use their senses. I mean, we have eyes, but how do we learn to see? And we have ears, but how do we learn to hear? And to investigate that further, the idea was, maybe if we just add a new simple sensory input, that we can have a new sense, so to say, even if it's a very limited one, maybe we can investigate what happens in the brain So that was the background idea behind this compass belt. The idea was to have a magnetic sense and to see whether you could transfer some of the results to the general learning of senses. So that was the first idea. And after the first participants tried that compass belt, they already had the results that they all told about better and different space perception and better orientation. And that was when the field space project was getting bigger. So then there was a new project, Field Space, which was a lot bigger than the first small study project in 2005. And this started in 2010. And in 2011, I joined in as a PhD student.
Mm. And does creating a new sense work? So you just you mentioned that the idea was to add a simple sense. And my first thought was, well, adding a sense of where north is isn't simple. To me, that sounds already quite demanding for mm-hmm. your brain. So what were the results? Can we get a new sense just by wearing a belt that vibrates into one direction?
For me, I always say that I think whether it's a new sense or not is more like a philosophical discussion. What do you how do you define a sense? This is difficult to say. For me, I would say it definitely changed my space perception. To make an example, when I was just sitting somewhere and was talking about where I come from, and I say like, yes, I just visited my friend. Usually I just say it or my arm points into a random direction. But back then, it always pointed in the right direction, even if it was behind me or some strange position from my body, I always pointed in the correct direction. So for me, usually when I'm in a room, I don't know whether you have that as well, the space ends with the wall of the room. I have no idea what is outside behind the wall. Of course, if you ask me where's the Hauptbahnhof Osnabrück, I can think about it and then I can say like, okay, I entered the house from that angle. So it means it must be in that. I can calculate that. But it's not present in my perception. And after the time of wearing the belt all the time, this presence of further away objects was always there. So I always knew where my home was. I always knew where the main station is. I always knew where I come from. And I could always point into the direction immediately without thinking and without having a window in the room. So this was really like a feeling of my space perception was much wider and everything was somehow connected. And it felt a bit like Google Street View. So I'm in the map and I can look around and I can see through everything. So I'm standing there and I don't only see the streets which are actually visible, but I can look behind and I know everything what is behind. And this was like a new feeling for me because it was like I know everything around me and in which direction it is. And that was very fascinating. And I really like that feeling of just knowing where everything is. Another change I had in my personal experience was that navigation was much easier. So one thing is that if I walk around and talk to a person and I'm not paying attention, then in the end, I don't know where I went and I have to really think hard to think where I came from if it's an unknown environment. With a belt, it was not like that at all. I was just walking random directions, not thinking about it, talking to another person. And if I wanted to go back, I just turned and walked back. I was not even thinking about it. I was going in the right direction. Because I always somehow felt in which direction I went, even when I was not paying attention.
That's so fascinating because I am also a person who has quite a bad sense of orientation. So,
yes.
Well, I sometimes say that I find my way by getting lost because I just go somewhere and then I realize I have no idea where I am. And then I just start getting lost more on my way, on trying to find my way back because I also don't really want to use Google Maps. And I was just thinking, my thought right now was that maybe how it works is that your body kind of creates a map of where it vibrated on your belt, kind of? And or how does it work that you could remember easily?
Something what most people who wore the belt for some time, and me as well, told us was that in the beginning, it's just a feeling of something is vibrating at my belly or somewhere. And then I know, okay, it's vibrating here. That means there is north. But this changes quickly. So then it's there's north. Ah, I know that because it's vibrating here. But that's the second thought. The first thought is I just feel that it's there in whatever direction. So always knowing where north is not about that it's north. It could be south or east or anything. That's not the point. The most important thing is it's always the same direction. So I always somehow know in which direction I walk. And if I always feel it in the front of my belly, and then I feel it in the back, then I know I just walked back and I'm where I started. And this also happens without thinking about it. And this is something which at some point starts to be just somehow it works automatically. And for the people who were participants in that study, it was also, of course, very different. There were people who had a good sense of orientation and people who had a bad sense of orientation. I'm having not a bad sense of orientation, but I still felt that it was getting much easier because it was just more effortless. But people who had a bad orientation in the beginning, they also told us that it was really getting better because they had the first time that they really have an idea of where they were going. And of course, if you're always going in one direction and then you feel that you're going in the opposite direction, it's easy to guess, oh, I think I'm getting close to where I start from. And it just gets easier. And this is something which started to happen starting from 3 to 6 weeks after wearing the belt all the time. They all got improvements and they felt more secure in orientation and navigation. And sometimes it's also that for me it was easier, for others it was less stressful, for others it was really better. So it was good effects for all the participants. So, which of course, yeah, I'm fascinated by it. I yeah. still am, also because of that.
Did it change after stopping to wear the belt? Or did kind of this sense of I know where something is stay?
It kind of stopped after some time. So of course, all the places where I walked with the belt, I still knew where north is. So this I just remembered. But on the other hand, if I go to a new place, then it was not the same feeling without the belt. It's like at some point you learn to see and you know how to use your eyes. But if you close the eyes, you still remember how it is to see, but you don't have the visuals. Mm-hmm. And I would compare it like this. So if I now wear the belt, I can use it more, yeah, maybe just getting to get into the feeling, but I can use it immediately as I learn to use it. And so it gets back fast to how it felt after wearing it for a long time.
Yeah.
But while wearing it, does that maybe, or does the sense extend to things that you know in theory? So for example, if you ask me where Berlin is, I can say like, yeah, it's somewhere east of Osnabrück. Does that also like translate if you have never traveled to Berlin with the field space belt on, or is it still like the old thought process that you also would need to find the train station in Osnabrück? So you have to go, oh yeah, I think it's east, so it has to be that direction.
For things which are that far away, yes, then I know it's east and then I can just show in the direction because I know where north is. And then I know where east is. But for places where I could go, for example, within Osnabrück, this is a more automatic process.
Mm-hmm. And it's also interesting, I'm thinking about like the reference point. I mean, is it just that hopefully that north is so far away that it always seems like the same direction? although it's like, if it's a point, then if you would travel around the world, like the direction would always change if you like stayed the same. I'm not sure how to explain it, but the way of, because the Earth is round, then you can go around the pole in theory and the direction would still stay the same. But then if you are in Osnabrück, where north is to you relative to yourself, is like always the same thing. So it's probably like best for like a small local area, or am I maybe mistaken?
I think the north signal is just like a constant direction. It could be east, it could be just a GPS point far away. But the most important thing for me is that it's always pointing in the same direction. And even if I would go to another city and I would go in another city and someone would have set the belt to east, for example, mm-hmm. it would still be the same feeling. Maybe it's wrong, the map is not correctly aligned to the rest of the world, but the feeling comes from always pointing in the same direction, so that I have a better feeling about how I move in the environment.
So it's maybe a bit more, in a way, kind of having a reference point and yes. how the whole environment relates to this reference point.
Yes, okay. Exactly. Yeah. It's always having the same reference point and feeling how I move in this reference compared to that reference.
Yeah.
And then is it like the idea with the belt? I mean, it could also be a wristband that we heard like Piper talk about, but that was for a different purpose. Is that just that you always have like the same, that you can like maybe rotate your arm, but you feel like you face the same direction? Like, was there, do you know if there was any other consideration except the belt and what maybe the advantages of a belt are?
Yes, we also tried wristband, or we thought about that. But the point is that on the wrist, you have not so many vibration motors you could put there. So in our actual field space belt, we have 16 vibration motors around the waist. And therefore, you have a very clear feeling of how much you're turning and in which direction you are facing. It's kind of high resolution. Of course, it could be higher. In the research, we had 32 vibration motors, but then it feels completely smooth and continuous on your skin. So you cannot actually differentiate, now there was a jump, I'm turning now. So with 16 vibration motors, it's still smooth, but you can also feel that you're turning and that there is a jump between the two vibromotors. To the other question, sorry. We thought about a wristband, but there were not enough vibromotors you could put there. And you also could move your wrist independently of your body. So it's not really telling something about how you are moving in the environment, but only about your arm. If you have it around your belly, the belt, it always tells you how you are positioned in the environment. And so this is also more accurate about your own position. You could use it with the head. We tried that, because if you move your head, you always also have the feeling of you're moving. You can actually see, okay, I'm now facing into another direction. So that works as well in theory. It's just not nice to wear something on your head what is heavy and sweaty, and no one wanted to do that. But I think on the head, it would be the same effect. But on the wrist, it's difficult because you move it independent of the rest of your body. And it's not such a good resolution.
I was just thinking, because your belly is connected to kind of the root of your body in a way, mm-hmm. in a way that you can move all your limbs, you can move your head in different directions, but kind of your torso always stays directed into one direction, independent of your head movements, arm movements, leg movements.
Yes.
So it's kind of more constant, and in order to move, you have to move other parts of your body to move your torso.
Yes, so it actually feels very natural that if it vibrates in that direction and I turn my head, it feels completely natural that it stays in the same direction mm-hmm. where my body is located.
Yeah.
So that feels, I can immediately understand that this is my body. This is how my body is moving in the space, independent of my other body parts in my head. Yes, that feels very easy to understand for everyone who tries it.
You just mentioned a bit earlier that the actual product has 16 vibration motors.
Mm-hmm.
Do they always vibrate individually, or do they sometimes also vibrate combined? Because you also mentioned that with 32, the switches between vibrations was too smooth in order to really realize that there was a change.
Yes.
The question was if they always vibrate individually or in a group sometimes.
In the normal standard compass mode, there's always one vibro motor vibrating constantly. It's always one. So, mm-hmm. And if I turn, then it goes to another and the first one shuts down. So okay. It's always only one.
Because I first imagined it as an area of motors vibrating, so multiple together. Okay.
No, it's always one.
You said like there's a difference in the number of motors, and you again mentioned that, Elisa. Was there, because it's maybe unusual that the first project, I mean, they found something and that's good, but it's somehow unusual that it was like already a pretty good working product. But I'm assuming that you made like a lot of improvements over the years to the belt and had like some challenges that maybe were hindering the learning process of the participants. Were there some unexpected challenges, or was it rather smooth, the development of the current product?
Back in the project, the first prototypes were already working in the sense of having an effect. But the product itself, it was very bulky, very heavy, very big, and self-made, and with some wires hanging around and stuff like that. So the product itself was not really a final end-user product, even though the effect was already there because there were already vibro motors around the waist and having this nice focused vibration in direction of north. We had a lot of effort with making a final consumer product out of it. It was a lot of work, and there were quite some setbacks and difficulties, especially because the three cognitive scientists of us, we were not like the technicians, so we needed to learn stuff, to find people helping us, and so this was quite a journey. And we started in 2015, and it took us until 2018 until we had the final product. So we had first in between beta version of the belt, which was already better than what we had as a prototype in the research, and then we further improved it, also asking first consumers or first clients how they would improve it, and then we had the final version in 2018.
And is the actual belt mainly for blind people, for seeing people? So what is the target group? Can anyone who just wants to know where North is wear it, or like who is it aimed for?
Yes, we found out quite early that we needed like a target group, like where we really go into. And there was also when we thought about this first study, my colleague Silke did, and with blind subjects. And the participants told us why it is so useful for blind people. Which, of course, if you're not blind, you not immediately think about why is it helpful to know where North is. But what was so helpful is that blind people have no clue about how they are turning. Even if they just want to walk in a straight line, that's not working, because if they turn, they just don't have any feedback about it and they don't know. And if they think they are going straight and they are not, then they are just standing somewhere and they don't know where they are standing, because in their mind they just walked in a straight line, but they are somewhere else. And with the belt, they can feel every turn they are doing immediately and they can correct for that. So with the compass belt, they can just walk in a straight line and control for their own body movements. And this helps a lot because people, they use a white cane for obstacle detection. And usually they also know the standard way to the supermarket, for example. And they know they have to walk in a straight line, then they have to turn right, and then they have to walk a bit further, and then they are there. But this walking straight and this turning 90 degrees and this continues to walk straight, this is a really a challenge. And so with the belt, that was a lot easier. And that was when we thought, okay, here we can really have an impact in everyday life of blind people. It really makes a difference. For me, it's nice if I have a better orientation, but I can live without it without problems. It's just cool and nice and easier. But for blind people, it's really the difference between being independent and being able to go to their destination, or maybe just not. And so this is a huge impact. And there we thought, okay, this is worth focusing on. And so we talked to a lot of blind people. We let them test it. And the results were always the same. They were really excited about it. And so that was when we decided to really focus on that group. And so we did. So we had a lot of feedback from blind people and the so-called mobility trainers, which are teachers for blind people in how to use the white cane, but also in orientation and mobility. And those people also had a lot of feedback for us. And yes, so we then implemented all that feedback and we finally got the belt ready. And then in 2019, we also got the so-called helping device number, which you need for being able to get refunded by the German health insurance. And that was also, of course, a very helpful and step for us as a company. And yeah, then there was another point that blind people also wished not only for the compass mode, but they really wanted like a navigation belt. And we worked on that also quite some time. So this took us also 2 years to complete the app we wanted to add to the product. And in 2019, this also was finally ready, that now it's possible to really just enter a destination in the smartphone app, and then the belt vibrates in the direction where you have to go, and you can actually follow your gut feeling to your destination.
So it's a bit like Google Maps without seeing where to go, but feeling it instead.
Yes. So when Google Maps tells you, please walk straight, and you don't know what straight is, with the belt, you feel it. And if you're not straight anymore, you can immediately correct for it. Yeah. So yes. It's good for blind people. The one part is that they don't have to listen to audio output, but even if they do, you cannot always use everything.
Yeah, exactly. So you've just mentioned that people can get, that the health insurances support your product. So
yes.
If a person listens to this episode and feels like, I know a person, or I myself am a person, what would their steps be to actually get a belt?
So usually it's like this, that blind people who want to try the belt out, for example, they can get the belt for testing from us. And if they say, yes, I really need that, I want to have that, then we have like a letter for the doctor where you can just go there and say, I need that. And then they exactly know what to write on the prescription. This the blind person sends to us, and then we organize everything with the health insurance. So it's quite easy.
Yeah.
Of course, it takes a long time. So the steps are easy, but then the health insurance asks some question, and then you have to answer them. And in the end, it takes some month, but it's in theory, it
should be easy. Yeah. You've also talked a bit about the feedback you get, or you got from your blind participants. And I was wondering if there is a difference between people who were blind from birth or who got blind later on in their life. Because as I remember from neuroscience lectures, that it does make a neural difference if people are not seeing the world from the beginning or just get blind later, just on the neural level. And I was just wondering, because I have an idea of how the world looks, and I of course know how the world looks, even if I was blind now, or I would get blind in future, I would still kind of know how a world looks, how a street looks, how orienting with being able to see fields. So is there a difference for people who never were able to see and who used to be able to see?
There is definitely a difference between that people. One thing is that, of course, as you also know from seeing people, there are always individual differences in orientation skills. So some people are good with orientation, some people are bad. With blind people, it's exactly the same. So there are also some people who are really good in orientation, in theory, and they say like, yes, I'm quite good. I know where everything is. I just don't know where I am on that map I have in my head. And other people don't have a map at all. So, and there often it is a big problem for people who are never able to see. They don't know what space is. They have no feeling about a room and how they are spaced in a room. They just have no idea. And that is something which is really something they need to learn. And some people learn it very, very late in their adult life. So, for example, if there's a room, there are four walls, and you just walk along the four walls, and then you reach the door again, for you it's clear that it's the same door you started from. But for a person who has no idea about how the room is, how space works, they really cannot get it why this should be the same door. They always walked and walked and walked, and now this should be the same door. How? Why? And of course, they can. They are intelligent people. They can understand it in theory, but they don't have a feeling for that because they never saw how a room works. And in that case, they also really need to learn it. And sometimes people who have never seen, they learn the space in small, like a phone box. They just enter a room which is really small so they can touch all the walls, and then they get a feeling, okay, this is one wall, and if I walk there, they can really touch it and feel it and try to learn the concept of space. And this is something like small babies learn already when they are able to see, but you not learn it if you're not able to see. Some people learn it because they are touching everything and they walk around and they get the feeling, but others really learn it very late. And for that, the field space belt in the compass mode is really useful because it's the first time that if they move around, something changes. And it's always in the coherent way, it's always the same. If they do this random foot putting it to the side, oh, then it always changes to this side of my belly. And if I use the other foot, it changes back. So there is somehow a connection of my movement and the field space belt. And so you really can actually learn, okay, if I'm turning around and I'm turning 360 degrees around, it also moves around, and then you get a feeling, ah, okay, now I'm facing the same wall as before. I actually did a full turn. And like this concept learning, therefore the field space belt can be very helpful because this is doing something which is which the eyes can also do if you're able to see, give you always a feedback about your movement. Always when you move in a specific way, you always get the same sensory change. And this is how you learn the space, and this is how you learn to see, this is how you learn to hear. And with the field space belt, this is, can also help to just develop that space concept about your own body movements and how you are moving in the environment. And this can be very helpful for those blind-born people to learn how the space works. But of course, this is different. Many people learned it at some place. They actually also have teachers trying to teach them, but this is also why people, blind children are also now starting to use the field space belt more, which is very nice because then they can have a lot less orientation problems later on in their life.
Yeah. Is it then that the people have to start with like the compass mode on the field space belt, or does the navigation mode also work as like the entrance to using the field space belt? Is there a difference in that?
There's a difference between using the compass mode and the navigation mode. It's basically either you try to learn to better orient yourself or you're just following a navigation device. It's the same when you drive a car. If you just try to remember the way and to think about where you have to go to arrive at your destination, you're practicing your orientation skills. If you just follow the instructions, You have no idea where you are, but you arrive at the destination. And then the question is, what do you want? Do you just want an easygoing arriving at your destination without thinking, but you are arriving? It's nice and easy. Or do you actually want to improve something and to get better orientation skills? And then you should use the compass belt. So basically, this is also the question, an individual question. And we have some clients who say like, yes, you know, I'm quite fine with orientation and I don't want to learn a lot. I just want to arrive at my destination. And if it points in the front and I walk in the front, I have no clue where I am. It doesn't matter. I just want to arrive. And there are other people who say like, yeah, I don't want to rely on tech so much. I don't want to always just blindfolded, so to say, just walk somewhere without knowing where I am. I actually want to have that in my own abilities to find my way. And for that, for those people, the compass belt is the choice they make. But usually it's also a combination. People use the compass for all the places they know where they have to go and in their standard environment. And if there's like a new destination and they actually really have to arrive in a completely unknown environment, they just say, okay, here, I just don't want to experiment. I don't have the time for it. It's not the time now for me for that. And I just want to enter the destination and then I change to the navigation mode.
Mm. I'm a mix between mind blown, between the sole explanation of getting to know what a room is, the concept of a room for blind people. But just by your explanation, I was also wondering now if it's possible to combine both modi. Because when I, as a person who's able to see in a new environment, I of course can use Google Maps, which tells me where to go. But I also at the same time kind of can orient myself with other points that are surrounding me. But when I'm a blind subject or a blind person, and I only follow the vibrations, I don't get any information regarding my environment. So is there possible to combine both? Have you been working on that, or is it just...
Yes, so it's also just possible to change the navigation mode in the app. So you can, for example, choose beeline directions so that it's only pointing to the destination but not telling you where to go, for example. And you can also, for example, choose compass mode with directional information at the crossings so that you always have compass, compass, compass. And if there is a crossing, then it tells you now you have to turn right. And after turning right, it tells you again compass, compass, compass. So you also have the possibility of use a combination of both. Yeah. But this is like depending on whether you are an advanced user or whether you can, whether this is too confusing for you. This depends on the individual person, what they want to choose.
We are nearing the end of this interview, but are there other projects that your company is working on right now? Because I feel like, yeah, you had to have search for a target group and you found that, but I guess like, as we talked to Piper about this wristband that was designed to help people pick out like the right thing at grocery stores, like the general concept of using another sense and using those vibrating motors is really applicable to a lot of other things. Are you working on any other projects related to that?
So there are two different sides. One thing is that we work also on research project like the one with Piper. And we are also invested in other project about people having Parkinson. And we are investigating whether a tactile feedback, like a vibration rhythm, can help them to continue to walk better, even though they actually usually are going sometimes into a so-called freeze where they cannot move anymore. And this is also a research project we are in. And maybe in the future, we can also develop a product helping people with Parkinson with a tactile device where vibration feedback helps them to walk better. But this is like the research projects we are part of. And as a company for selling products, we have our own product, the FieldSpace Belt. And we are also selling two other helping device products. One is like a reading device, which is reading out aloud everything which is in front of you. And the other thing is an obstacle detection device, which is also giving vibration feedback if an obstacle comes close. And so we are also having two other products we are selling to the same people, because we are already in that market and we know the people and we know what they need, together with our own project. And on the other hand, we are also still continuing being part of research to develop new ideas how vibrotactile feedback could help people.
In the beginning, you said that you as a kid wanted or were fascinated by neurobiology, and we always try to put like the content of the episode into the context of cognitive science. And what do you think were like the main fields of cognitive science that really play into what you're doing right now? So I would assume it's a lot of neurobiology still, but there are probably also other aspects from cognitive science that you need to create a product like this.
So the research of the field space was in the research group called neurobiopsychology, and I think this fits quite well because it's neurobiology, it's a cognitive psychology, so it's a combination of that mostly. And these were also the fields where I was interested in most. So I always liked like how the brain works, and also not only like on a theoretical level, so which neuron does what, but more like how does it feel? So, and how does it work? And so these were always the topics which interested me the most. And I think the FieldSpace project very nicely fits into that area.
So if a person has listened to this episode now and doesn't really know what's the most relevant out of it, or what he or she should remember when, well, talking to friends, what should they, or what would you give them on their way out?
Summary of that episode. I would say the interesting thing about the field space belt is how actually a very simple signal, just a vibration on the skin, can really have such an impact, because it has a meaning to your brain. Just because it's always vibrating in the direction of north, you actually change your whole space perception on your capabilities of orientation. And I think this is like really awesome, that there's just a simple vibration, because if you just wear something, if you have a vibration on your skin without a meaning, like your telephone is ringing or something, it has no meaning, so nothing changes. But in the moment when you get a signal which is related to how you move, and actually what you are doing changes the sensory input, so to say, this really has an impact on your brain and it completely feels different. And it's something similar to how you learn to see, how you learn to hear. And here we have an actually example of how you can really learn a new kind of perception. Yeah. How you can learn a new perception.
Yeah. I think that's a really good summary of, well, what, why it's important to have this tool, and also why it's interesting to investigate into it. Thank you so much for coming here to talk to us, to giving us a bit more of an idea of what the field space belt actually does. And yeah, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.
When you enjoy listening to us, the best way to support us is by following us on your chosen podcast app. This could either be Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, or the website of a cognitive science student journal. Another good way to support us is by following our Instagram account, which is called kaleidoscience_pod. On our Instagram account, you will also get regular information on the next episode. Thanks a lot for supporting us. This was Kaleidoscience, hosted by Elisa Palme and Sönke Löw. Produced by Alina Ohnesorge, Elisa Palme, Sönke Löw and Sophie Kühne. Produced in collaboration with the Cognitive Science Student Journal. The music was produced by Jan-Lukas Schröder. The logo was designed by Annika Richter. Thank you for listening and joining us on our journey through conversations on cognitive science.